Good morning, church, and welcome once again. It's been a few weeks since we've gathered here, and I trust that you all had a wonderful holiday season filled with lots of good food and, of course, family, friends, and we're back here today and looking in at anticipation towards 2018, you know, the new year, and for those of our internet followers, welcome today as well. Sorry we weren't here last week. We kind of canceled at the last minute. But this morning I do have a word for you from the Lord, I believe. And, you know, this is the time of the year when many people, they set new goals. They call them New Year's resolutions. And they, you know, they bring in these changes, or they desire these changes, because they want to see their life, they want to see that year better than the previous year. And so most of the resolutions that we make are about making for a better 2018, right? I mean, otherwise, why would we do it? Why would we set out to make these new goals? And as Christians, the first Sunday back, or the first Sunday of New Year, a lot of times we'll gather together, and in our hearts, we're hoping to hear what the Lord has for us in 2018. What does the Lord say about this year? And, you know, as I look back over some of my notes from the previous years, you know, I mean, last year it was 2017. So 17, of course, we know is its numerical value is victory. So we spent a lot of time, especially at the beginning, speaking of the victory. Now, this morning, I want to take it a little bit further than just victory, because I believe last year, the victory that we saw or that we experienced, I believe, was a victory that God needed to build on us on the inside first. If you don't know that you've got victory in your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross, through his death, then you're not going to experience victory in the natural. So if you are sitting here today and thinking, well, I didn't experience much victory last year, you know what? There's hope for you, because the victory begins on the inside first. You've got to see that victory. You've got to taste it. You've got to know it. And then that victory is manifested outwardly. So I believe God took the year, and we were like in an incubation period, and we were learning and growing in the knowledge of the victory that is already ours in Christ Jesus. Now, any of us here in this church this morning is going to argue with the victory, that we have every victory through Christ, and that when he sat down at the right hand, the work that he was sent to do was finished. And so last year, many of the messages that I taught were along those lines, along the lines of it is finished. The victory is done. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. So this morning, the word that the Lord has laid on my heart for us today is specifically for us. It's like that was the word for last year, and now we're at this point. Now where do we go this year? And what I want to share with you this morning, the Lord actually laid on my heart 3 weeks ago already. I had no idea it was going to be a New Year's message, because what he spoke wasn't really tied in with anything until I started giving it a little more thought. But I did sense, when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me on these things personally, I did sense such a spirit of urgency to this message, like urgency. And I don't know how else to say it this morning. It is a word that perhaps, and nothing from perhaps, I know we've heard this word before, but I believe the Lord wants, you know how sometimes you can know a word, but then it becomes a now word, a specific word for a specific time. And I really believe that the word that I want to share this morning, the Lord put on my heart that this is a word that you and I need to really take seriously for the year 2018, not just for today and maybe this week, but I'm talking about throughout the whole year. Put it into your life, incorporate it into your everyday life. And so the first thing I want to call our attention to this morning is this: whatever good thing that is added to your life in the year 2018 is not up to God. It's up to you and me and you and you and you. We so many times we sit back and we're waiting for God to bless us, God to do something in our lives. And really, we kind of throw out there a mixed message because we're told we should rest in Christ. But resting in Christ doesn't mean we're inactive. It's just trust, have peace in Him, knowing that He is working out all things for your good on your behalf. But there still is a part that you and I need to play, right? So you need to, first of all, understand that if you are going to experience a greater life in 2018 or a more restful life, whatever it is you need, it is going to be up to you. Because Jesus finished it all. And you got to remember that. That is how we interpret Scripture. It's already done. Now, it's up to me to either receive it, to believe it and receive it, or reject it. Amen. So 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3 to open up this morning. Verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ Jesus, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. Can I hear an all things? All things that pertain unto my life, your life, and everybody's life, unto godliness in your life, my life, and everybody's life. How? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Now, according to these verses, there, what I read is that there is nothing good that God has refrained from giving us or has withheld from us. Nothing good. He is, as according as His divine power has given unto us, all things that pertain unto your life and unto godliness in your life. So, verse 1, first of all, let's ask ourselves this question. Do you have like precious faith with Peter? The same faith that Peter had? Yes, of course we do. Do you and I have the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes. Absolutely, yes. You know why? Because you cannot have faith unless you have knowledge. Your faith is your knowledge. So if you want to, you know, increase your faith, you need to increase your knowledge. Faith isn't a feeling on the inside of you that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. No, it is what it is the revelation of Jesus. And the more revelation you have of Jesus, the bigger you can say your faith is or your belief in Him. Right? You can't believe in Jesus in an area where you don't know anything about Him. But when you see His care, His love, when you see the cross and all the little, it's the little insignificant details that Jesus did that makes you realize, oh my goodness, the more you know about Him, that's how faith grows. There's many people in the world who do not see Jesus other than having died for their sin. Seriously, they don't see Him as being raised for our justification. They don't see that part. So their faith is very little. They're very, very narrow because they see a narrow Jesus, a small Jesus. And so remember that. The more you see of Jesus, the more, the bigger, I hate to use the word bigger, faith, but the more apt you are going to have faith, the faith to believe God. Amen? Amen. So that's important that we are continually, day in and day out, growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We never come to a place where we arrive and we say, well, I know. Now I know everything there is to know about Jesus. No, don't ever get to that place. Every day you need to continually seek to know Him and more about Him. Amen? So your faith is your knowledge of God and Christ. So it's safe to say that right now, right here, in this very moment, because we need to live in the moment, you and I have all that you and I need in order to experience this year the best year of our life. You know, we ought to be experiencing more and more and greater and better years as the years go by. Why? Because your knowledge of Jesus should be growing more and more and more and more as the years go by. Do you want to see increases in your finances? Do you want to see increase in your church, your family, your church family? Do you want to see increase in your own body, in your strength, your own abilities? To experience more and more of the Zoe life. The word salvation is Zoe. Is that what you want for 2018? You know what I have? The big message I have this morning is, surprise, surprise, it's going to take faith. We're not preaching a new message here. We're preaching the same message. And the just shall live by faith. It's going to faith. Take your faith. Have you ever really pondered this thought? And this is where this message came from. The Holy Spirit came to me and just kind of spoke to me and said, have you ever noticed? Many times the Holy Spirit, that's how he seems to speak to me. Have you ever noticed? And he'll bring something to my mind. It might not be a big thing, but he's trying to get my mind to go on along a certain train of thought in order to give to me and to relate to me what the Lord has for us. So he said to me, have you ever thought, as you read through the Bible, that the only people or the only names of people that were ever talked about in the scriptures were the men and women who either had faith in God or who were enemies of the faith of God? No one else is mentioned. I mean, they mentioned genealogies. But nobody is brought to light unless they were men and women of faith. Now, what does that tell us about God? You know, we start our New Year's in the world, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to make a new resolution. I am going to be kind to my neighbor. I am going to, you know, help more here. I'm going to give more there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this and that. But, you know, none of that moves God. The only thing that God takes notice of, it's not your good moral life. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not preaching against a moral life. It is wonderful when God's people live morally right. But that is not what we're striving after. That does not move God. But what moves the heart of God is faith. When you have genuine faith, God's eyes follow you. He is, you know how we are in awe of his love for us and his amazing goodness? Well, he's in awe of your faith. And he's watching you. And he's watching every move you make. Because now you've become, I mean, you're like a light that's just shining on the earth. And this book is full of men and women who walked and lived by faith. Now, we read their stories. They weren't especially smart people. They weren't especially, they weren't so perfectly morally good. I mean, it doesn't even bring that out of the scripture. It's not even mentioned. But what is mentioned is faith. That man or that woman has faith. And in the eyes of God, oh my goodness, you have to understand what it does to the heart of your God when he sees true faith. And the greater the impossibility around you, and you're still standing there in faith, the more God loves it. He's not pleased when you back away and say, oh, you know. Sometimes we think that, you know, we think of God as we think of ourselves. You know, I just don't have the confidence, God. Oh, God, you know, you understand. God doesn't. God wants you to be confident. If he wants anything for you, he wants you to walk and to live every day by faith. What does it mean that the just shall live by faith? Is it only when we have our back up against the wall and nothing in the natural is working, and then we cry unto God, oh, my goodness, Lord, I got to trust in you? No. You need to be walking by faith every day, every moment of every day. God wants to do big things in our lives. I know that. You know it. And somehow we, even though we know it and we mentally assent to it, we're always waiting for next year or next month or whenever. Maybe in 10 years I'll be ready for God to use me to do these big things. But no, the day is here. The hour is growing short. Awake, arise, and do and be what God has called us to be and do through your faith. So in God's kingdom, so to speak, those that are heroines are people of faith. And you don't got to be rich to have faith. You don't got to be smart to have faith, do you? Anybody can have faith. In the world, you need to have a lot. You need to have money to make money. In order to be famous, you got to have some sort of a gift. You got to be able to play football or sing a nice tune. Or, you know, in the world, you need gifts in order to make it big, so to speak, and make your mark on the world. But in God's kingdom, anybody can make a mark on the kingdom of God. All it takes is faith. And you will please God. Now, why would we worry about pleasing people? Why? It is Him who has, it is Him who we should seek to please at all times. And faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't care how morally right you live. I don't care how much you love your neighbor. If you are not living in faith, you're not even on God's radar. How many of us want to be on God's radar this year? Amen. And these people that were written in the Bible, they were all written. They were recorded there by the Holy Spirit for our learning and for our understanding and for our gleaning and seeing more of God. Just the fact that we know that the only names that were mentioned were men of faith. They were heroines in the eyes of God. God had a plan. God had a dream. And when He saw His men, His women carrying out His plan, His dream, nothing touches the heart of God more than that. We live in a society where it is all about what we can do to be better people, trying to be better, making New Year's resolutions. I challenge us this morning, let's make a new resolution this morning, but not one that is about changing the way. Let's make a resolution to live every day by faith. If this book was to be rewritten, would your name be recorded in it? Would your name be recorded in it? Would you be a heroine of faith? Or would you be just one of the descendants and your name wasn't even mentioned? It's your faith that gets the attention of God. It's your faith that He writes, and this word will never pass away. And these names in this book will never pass away. Would your name be recorded in this book? All of the heroines of the Bible were people of faith. You know what? We're all people of faith. If you are born again, you are a child of faith. Because the only way you can be born again is by your faith. But just to have faith is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who use their faith. You can have faith and never use it. I don't know about you, but I want to put my faith to work. So I'm going to ask us a question this morning. Do you have a dream in your heart? Do you have a picture, a mental picture? Do you have a vision of what you want your life to be like? What you see? Your dream, you know, you go to that, your happy place. And you see things. And everybody sees things differently. We discussed this one night, I remember, at a girls' Bible study. And they're like, what do you see? What do you see? What are you attaining for? What would make your life, what would be your dream come true? And all of us will have different dreams. There's nothing wrong with that. God has made us all diverse, very different. And He needs all of us to carry out His dream. And if you don't have a dream here this morning, you better get one. What would you like to see Maybe it's in your business. Maybe it's in your marriage, your family, your children, your body. But what do you see? How do you see this dream playing out? I think most of us kind of have a dream. Now, it might be a little vague, but I want you to get specific in your dreaming and in your picture of what you want to see. Get specific. And, you know, most of us kind of just like, yeah, we have dreams, and we just think, well, if it's God, it'll come to pass. You know, we're just kind of waiting for God to do something. I mean, if it's really God, it'll happen, and if it isn't, it won't. Well, you know, whatever, and it doesn't hurt for me to dream. Come on, that's a cop-out. And then the days go by, and the weeks go by, and then finally the years, and the dream that you had is still only a dream. And in reality, it's becoming further and further away as you age. But the truth is that God wants your dreams to become your reality through Christ. And all of you, me, you included, has been equipped with faith to bring those dreams into this world. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're dreaming something that goes contrary to God's word, then no, you better let go of that dream. Like if you're dreaming to be married to another man's wife, or if you're dreaming, I mean, there are things that are within God's will and things that are not. But we know God has not withheld anything good from us. If your dream is to have a completely whole and a healthy body, or to be your youthfulness renewed, we know those are all according to God's will. If your dream is to have the most amazing marriage, we know that's according to God's will. If your dream is to have a business that is just supernatural and is so blessed, you're blessed going in, blessed going out, you know, God touches everything you put your hands to, guess what? That's God. And God has promised us in His Word that wherever our feet tread, He's given us that land. That means that wherever you are, you can realize and have those dreams come to pass. So you don't have to be in a certain place or doing a certain thing. God wants to make your dreams become a reality right now, that you might dream bigger dreams. Amen? Amen. So do you have a dream? God wants to bring it to pass, bring it into this world. You know, how many of us really, really understand what it is to live by faith? We talk so much about faith. We study faith. We've been told we have faith. We know we have faith. Faith, 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 faith. But are we really living by it? Are we really understanding what living by faith is all about? You know, God too had a dream. Did you know that? We have no idea how long God dreamed about you, Lorelai, or me, or this earth, before he brought his dream into reality. God had a dream. He dreamt of a family. A beautiful family filled with lots of children and lots of good things. It was a beautiful dream. He dreamt of you and of me, a beautiful world that his family would live in. But until God gave the command, it remained only a dream. Only a beautiful thought. You have a dream? Is it going to remain a dream or a beautiful thought? Do you want your dreams to become a reality? Then you too must give the command. God gave the command. His dream was just a dream. His thoughts were just beautiful thoughts. You and I are made in His image. And you and I must have this as well. God never created the world with His thoughts, with His dreams. The Holy Spirit, it says, was hovering over the earth, and it was without form and without void. The word hovering actually means brooding. The word brooding actually means incubating. He was incubating. And you see, 2017, I believe the Holy Spirit was incubating the dream, the vision, the victory that you have in Christ. Christ in whatever area it is that you've been dreaming about. And the Holy Spirit is waiting, waiting. What was he waiting for? The command. And instantly, God said, light be. And the Holy Spirit created the light. But there was an incubation period. And I believe you and I have been studying grace, righteousness, victory, the finished work of Christ. We have been in an incubation period. But it is time, church, to give the command. Unless you speak it, it remains a thought. It remains a beautiful dream. He wants to bring this to pass. He wants to bring your dreams to pass, but he needs your cooperation. Life and death are not in the power of your thoughts or even of what you believe in your heart. They're in the power of your words in your tongue. And we, through much teaching in this church, I really believe this, have learned to guard our mouths against evil speaking, against speaking out garbage. I mean, yes, do we slip up and mess up at times? Many times. But we are cognizant and very much aware of this part of our body and how it does control our lives. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. But the problem is, and what the Lord was showing me, instead of speaking positive things or the things of life, we close our mouth and speak nothing at all. And we think that's okay. Well, you know what? I'd rather you speak nothing at all than speak negative. Yes. But if you're going to negate the natural course of events in your life, because there is a natural course in this world, right? Everything is passing away. If you don't stop that through your words, it's just going to continue to go on. And, you know, even though you might not be speaking negative and adding fuel to the fire, it's still passing away. It's still moving on. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's not closing your mouth and speaking nothing at all, but it's speaking words of life that we need to learn. So walking by faith is not just believing that something is true in your heart. That's not walking by faith. That's dead faith. Faith without works is dead faith. You can believe all you want. The Bible doesn't say we have what we believe. It says we have what we say. Now, yes, there is an incubation period. You understand? That's what the Holy Spirit was doing. There is a time that you take time and you get into the presence of God and you incubate God's word and your relationship. And it's during that time that things are birthed. Yes, there is a time of incubation. There is a time, even when you're expecting a child. That child is in the mother's womb for 9 months. But when 9 months is up, the baby is birthed forth into the natural. And it's the same with God's word. Yes, there is a time where we need to get before God. And faith needs to arise in our hearts. And we need to have the confidence and the assurance to get out there and speak. But when we are in our everyday life, we are to walk and we are to give the command. Jesus, he spent most nights praying and seeking his Father, spending time with his Father. But in the morning when he got up, he was on the front row. He was sent to the front row to give the command. And he gave them in power. The power came from spending time with his Father. Yes, faith must be birthed in your hearts, and it must grow. But guess what? I believe, church, this year, it is time for us to begin to speak, to bring into the natural what is already in your hearts. Give that command. Have the God kind of faith. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your job. Speak to your body. Command what you want to see. You already believe it in your heart. Now you must speak it out and you will have what you say. And now your faith becomes alive. And your words become words of spirit and life. Do you know that the spirit of life that is in you and is rooting on the inside of you. He does not confirm your thoughts. He does not. He only, the Bible tells us, confirms your word. And until you speak something, it remains a thought. Sometimes I think we think we're speaking, and we're not. We have all kinds of great thoughts, and our minds go to that happy place in our minds, but we never speak it out. And we don't even realize we're not doing it. But I want you to make a conscious decision this year. I am going to speak these thoughts. I'm going to speak them out in Jesus' name. And allow the whole, you just rest. You can't, you have no power. You couldn't change one hair on your head. But it's the Holy Spirit of life that's in you. You know He's there. He's the one who brings it to pass. This is vitally important. It brings the creative power of God into every situation. You know, so many times we hunger for more of God, more of His presence, more of His reality of God. How many times have we said that? We just want more of God, more of His reality. Or experience Him in every more in every area of our lives. To experience the reality of His very presence. So we wait and we wait and we wait and we think one day He's just going to really show up. He's just going to come rolling in like a big cloud and He's going to just bowl us all over in His presence. No, you initiate everything through this, through your mouth. Too often we stop short in our faith. We pray, we listen to CDs, we get into the Word, we meditate on the Word, we even mutter the Word. And faith begins to arise in our hearts. You know, faith, and if it didn't arise, it will arise. You just keep doing that. Because it's guaranteed that faith will come from the Word. But then we fail to speak. We get it right to the place where it's like we fail. We grow our crops. It all rises up. We sleep night and day. We rise. But we don't go out and take the crop in. And that's what the Lord is speaking from me to me to speak to you. Let's take the harvest. Let's take it in. How? With your words. And you know, God can't speak for you. God is not going to speak for you. It's the same concept as praying in tongues. You have the ability to pray in tongues. And many good, well-meaning Christians who do not understand it yet are waiting for God to take hold of their tongues. And it seems like that's what we're waiting for. I just didn't feel the inspiration. Like it's the Holy Spirit's not going to come along and force you to speak a certain command or certain words. No, it's you yield your mouth and He takes over. Your words become the sword of the Spirit when you just open up your mouth and begin to speak out these words of life. The Holy Spirit will take over. And you're going to know it. You're going to sense His power all over you when you begin to walk and operate in that type of faith. And you won't be wondering, where's God? Because you will sense Him every day. But you will experience as much of God as you want to in your life. So God's not going to force you to speak. And He's not going to take control of your tongue. That's the enemy that does that. You know, we say, the devil made me do it, the devil made me say it. That's our excuse. Sadly, if you really believe that, you will never speak up in the way you should. You will never pray in tongues. If you think God is going to force the words, He's going to somehow take control of your tongue, it's never going to happen. That's not how God operates. You yield your tongue, and the Holy Spirit then uses your voice. God wants you and I to give the command. You know, on the bank of the Red Sea, and I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to go into some stuff from here. Moses stood at the bank of the Red Sea. We know that the enemy was fast. I mean, he could feel the enemy breathing down his neck. And he's got these millions of people and a sea in front of him, and they are gaining ground. And so he is like, can you imagine the scene? Could you imagine? What would you do? And he's standing there in front of this water, looking around, and, oh, God, he screams, help us. Like, there was nowhere to go. It was either they're all going to jump in and drown, or they may as well stay there and let the enemy slaughter them. And so he yells, oh, God, help us. The enemy's coming, and there's nowhere. What does God say to him? God rebukes him. And he says, Moses, why are you crying to me? Give the command, and the Red Sea will be divided. Too many times we get ourselves in a place where we're down and we're depressed and we don't see our any way out. And it's just more and more darkness. And things just go from bad to worse. Until the point is that we turn to God and we say, God, help me. I don't know what to do. Please help me. And God is saying to you, why are you crying to me? Give the command. Speak to that problem. Speak to your body. Speak to your finances. Speak to your business. The rod that Moses held in his hand. Remember, God said to him, what is in your hand? Do you know that that rod represents the righteousness of God? Because Moses stretched out his hand with the rod of God, and the sea divided, and the people went across the dry land. Then he stretched it out again, the water came back together, and all the enemy drowned. Now, the definition of the word rod is simply this. It's an extension. It's a branch. Okay? You think of a rod. It's a branch. It's an extension. Now, the rod, interestingly enough, can be used for a walking stick, which they call a staff in the Bible. Or it can be used for correction, a rod of correction. Or, now listen up carefully, it also is another word for a scepter. What is a scepter? What's a scepter? I mean, we don't have scepters today, but scepters are used or were used in the Old Testament for ruling. The king had a scepter to rule and reign. Now, in the story of Moses, we see that the rod was used to rule, to reign. Now listen carefully. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it tells us this, that thy throne, O God, is forever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So the rod of God's kingdom is righteousness. What is that? What is a scepter? It is a rod that kings rule with. So what it's telling us here in 8:1 of Hebrews is that the scepter or the ruling stick of God's kingdom, or let's put it this way, the rod of authority in the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. What does Romans 5:17 say about us? That those who receive the gift of righteousness and an abundance of grace will reign. You see, that's the word used for kings. How? Through that righteousness. It is our scepter. God has given it to us. Even as you, if you were a king and the scepter was given to you, guess what? When you reach out and receive that scepter, you are receiving the authority, the dominion of the whole kingdom. You have been given the righteousness of God. It was a gift. And when you believed it and you received it, you were given the righteous rod of God. That is what you rule with. That is what the kingdom of heaven rules with. And we are ruling in this life with this rod of righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It was given to you, but it's for you to use. Now, when you give that command, see yourself with that scepter, the rod of righteousness in your hand. It is yours. You have the authority in this life. You really do. The devil doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to be standing there holding hands up, crying out, oh, God, help me. He does not want you to find out that you've got the rod in your hand, even as Moses did. God is not going to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to be right back down there, Tori, and I'm going to fix this for you. You know what he's saying? Use your scepter. Use your rod. Speak. Command. Command what you want to see in your own world. Where is the scepter? Is it a rod in our hand? Where is the scepter? It's in our mind. Your words or your lack of them is really controlling your life. If you don't speak anything, nothing's really going to change. Nothing changes the natural process except the supernatural. And when your mouth starts speaking words of life and speaking with the righteousness of God, which is the scepter of his kingdom or the ruling authority of his kingdom, the natural will change. Supernatural has to come upon the natural in order for it to change. And did you know that even in the natural, I read this in the book this week, actually, Carl gave it to me for Christmas. And there was some interesting things in this book. But in the natural, the natural brain, God made the natural brain with all kinds of compartments. And, you know, I don't understand the brain, and I wonder if really anybody does. Neuroscientists, I think they, sometimes I think they're even amazed at how the brain works. But the one thing they do know is this, that your speech center in your brain rules over all of the nerves. Did you know that? That the speech center of the brain rules over all of the nerves. In other words, it has total control and dominion. Total control and dominion over the nerves of the whole central, your whole body. And so when you use your speech center to speak to your body, the body obeys. Even in the natural. I mean, if you say something long enough, oh, you are so weak, you are so... How do you speak to your body? Do you look at yourself and say, man, I am so tired of you, you're so ugly. I mean, it could be your hair, it could be your skin, it could be your nose. I don't know. But we don't speak nice things to our body. But see it as, see yourself and your speech center as ministering to your body. And your body becoming what you want it to become. You know, speak to your hair. How beautiful you are. How lovely you are. Ah, you know, what a great hair day I'm going to have today. Speak to your parts of your body. Be nice to them. Because as soon as you begin to speak, whatever it is you're saying, they pick up that signal and begin to prepare. If you were continually talking about how weak you are, the signal to the body is weak. So they begin to go down. It's like, oh, you got to prepare for weakness. We're weak. We're supposed to be weak. Okay, let's get weak. I mean, it sounds stupid. But that's the way it was explained. And I was like, wow. Now, when you go and begin to speak to your body, I mean, and it doesn't spring back exactly at the end of your words, don't get disgruntled and walk away and say, well, that didn't work. No, you continue, because a lot of times the negative things that you have said to your body, you're saying over and over and over and over and over. It's things that you might have been speaking about yourself since you were just little. I hate this, I hate that. You know, sometimes you go into your mom and say, why didn't I get, you know, my sister got that, and why did I get this? You know, and you complain, and you complain, and you complain. We usually complain about our bodies, and you know what? We think that's humanity. No, that's stupidity. We don't want to be proud. I mean, to go up to somebody and say, oh, I have most beautiful hair. What's that person going to think of you? They're going to think, oh, she's full of herself. So you know what I'm saying? So we downplay ourselves in the eyes and in the hearing of other people. Why? Because we're too embarrassed. I mean, I can't speak this because they're going to think I'm really... They don't understand what you're doing. So they see it as pride. But God sees it as you. You understand? Because the world's understanding of pride is totally opposite of God. And so learn to speak nice things about yourself. You know, and especially in those areas where you've cursed. And the curse is showing up big time. So change your words. And I mean, it might be something in your job. that you keep cursing. It might be that fax machine. It might be that, you know, start speaking nicely. Start giving commands of life and whatever it is that you need. And just watch the Holy Spirit. You will see begin to live a supernatural life beyond anything you could have ever even imagined. You know, too many times we back away of giving the command because we think, wow, I don't really know if I can believe those words. You know, and that's true. You need to take the time to spend with the Holy Spirit. And that assurance, which is faith, begins to come into your heart. The assurance that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's why I've been harping so much on that. You do have that scepter. You do have the ability and the right to give commands in your life, to speak words of life over things that are dying. You do. You have that scepter. God's given it to you as a gift. And when he looks down and sees us using it, it is by faith that we lay hold of life and we speak life. It just blesses God's heart. So we need to speak to our situation, to our bodies, to our organs, and, you know, stop complaining about them. The minute you see yourself wanting to complain about something, speak. Speak. Give the command to your body. Speak over your body. But, you know, even though this is a truth in the natural, isn't this what the book of James, chapter 3, teaches us? That the tongue is the littlest member of our bodies, but it is able to bridle the whole body. So even in the natural, when we speak natural words, it affects the body. How much more when we speak supernatural words in the power of the Holy Spirit will we be able to bring things back to life supernaturally? I really believe this is the word the Lord has for us this year. God is calling you and I to the front lines, to the battle. But like any good soldier, when he goes up to the battle, all the training is left behind. He's not in training anymore, but he's been given the say, so you go out and you fight. And God is saying, you're in the front lines. You need to learn how to fight. You need to learn to take the sword of the Spirit. You need to learn to speak. Because in this kingdom, it's not about physical labor or what we do physically. It's about what we believe and what we're speaking. And then we rest. We rest knowing that the Holy Spirit is bringing my needs to pass. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to fear. I've given this whole care over to the Lord. And all I do is speak. Speak to my situation. Give the Lord my words. And if you are in a place where you feel like your faith just isn't there yet, that's okay. You know, there might be areas in your life where you're still in incubation, I like to call it. Stay there until it's time to speak. You'll know when it's time. You'll know when real faith arises in your heart. But you need to get out there and you need to speak it out. And just watch the Holy Spirit begin to be in your life. So this is a word for those of us who do believe. And God knows who I'm speaking to. So obviously he knows something about your faith and your dreams that I don't know. But God wouldn't have put this in my heart if it was not for this hour, this season, and this people. And I'm sorry that we don't have that many of us here today, but I really hope that they turn on the internet and pick it up, because it is a good word, and I believe it was specifically given to me for this year, 2018. And so we can, by faith, say today, 2018 is going to be my best year ever, filled with the power of God. And all of those things that have been dreams, maybe for 5 years, maybe 10, maybe only a year, are going to become my reality in this year. That is my New Year's resolution. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you.